Hello, and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Comparative 12-Step Study Group. My name is Jenny, and I'm a sugar addict and compulsive eater and facilitator for today. The purpose of this group is to discuss the 12 steps, one at each meeting, and to share our personal experiences with the step or anything related to the theme of the step. Many of us are inspired by the 12-step approach, but find that some of the original language and concepts don't align with our personal beliefs. During this meeting, we will read several different interpretations of the steps and discuss, as the varied individuals we are, what makes sense to us and what helps our recovery. As always, please take what you like and leave the rest. This group does allow crosstalk, but please make sure it's supportive. We don't have time limits on these shares, so please be aware of how many people are in the meeting and be mindful of your share. And let me just get down. We're going to be doing step
seven
today. So, yeah, if we could have some people go ahead and start reading, starting with the OA principle. Go ahead, AJ.
I'll do that. OA principle, humility. Traditional OA humbly asks him to remove our shortcomings. Free thinker, with humility and openness, sought to eliminate our shortcomings. Pass.
Buddhist, with the assistance of others and our own firm resolve, we transformed unskillful aspects of ourselves and cultivated positive ones. Cleveland, work honestly, humbly, and courageously to develop our assets and to release our personal shortcomings. Pass.
Humanist, we hope they, our friends, will help. Practical, begin cultivating healthy character traits through consistent positive behavior. Proactive, learn to accept the sense of vulnerability that goes with life's pressures and uncertainties. And SOS, I embrace introspection and work toward alleviating my shortcomings. I strive for personal growth and fulfillment over perfection and to become integrated with collective humanness.
Hey, great. Thank you, everybody. We just finished reading 8 versions of the step. The OA traditional, free thinker, Buddhist, Cleveland atheist, humanist, practical, proactive, and the SOS secular organization for sobriety. These sources can be found in the literature and websites listed in the chat and in the guide link. We are now open for discussion about the steps. What does step 7 mean to you, and what are your impressions of the different versions we just read? A link to the screen share, as I said, is in the chat. If you'd like to continue looking at the steps during our discussion, that can make it easier. Please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn, and please allow everyone a chance to talk before speaking. Who would like to begin? Go ahead, Bud, or it's Harold. Bud.
Yeah, whichever. Yeah. Okay. Stuck with my birth name. Let's see. I just had a question. In humanism, I didn't understand the definition of that. Could somebody explain that?
So the problem with the humanist one is that it's kind of referring to step 6, because they're all kind of taken out of context of the whole set. So step 6 for the humanist said, we are ready to accept the help they, our friends, give us. And so then in step 7, it said, we honestly hope that they will help us. So instead of talking about God, they're talking about having friends help people out.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
So, well, I'll just start us off. I always like the OA principle, even though I don't like the OA traditional step. I really like the idea of humility and, turning to others for help, knowing that we're not just able to do everything on our own. So that just makes it really simple for me. And I like the practical steps, which are, I believe those are the MUN steps. Began cultivating healthy character traits through consistent positive behavior. And for me, that's what going through the steps is all about, is not necessarily having like a spiritual awakening or anything like that, but I, you know, want to become more self-aware about the things that are getting in my way, my behaviors that get in my way. So I like this idea about trying new behaviors, and, you know, it's practice. And sometimes we don't get it right, so then we try something else. Pass. Go ahead, Kadesh.
Thank you. For me, there's not one that jumps out the most. Well, that's not true. I think the Buddhist is probably the closest for me. But what I was going to say is that the difference here is who verbs. It's who's doing what. Is that, you know, am I asking for help from friends? Or am I waiting for them to help me? You know, am I looking only at my shortcomings, or am I looking at positive aspects also? And so I tend to like lean toward the ones that include developing positive parts of ourselves in addition to releasing the negatives, because I think that sometimes they're just opposites. You know, something that's a negative in your personality, there's an opposite of it that you can nurture and develop and things like that. So I guess that's what stood out to me here the most is who's doing what, who's doing the activity or action, pass.
Tam.
Hi, I'm Tam. I'm a compulsive reader. I was in a meeting yesterday where we talked about the OA step, and I did not like it at all. The big problem for me is that, you know, they're like, oh, this step is simple. All you have to do is turn it over to God, and God is going to relieve you of these defects. And I really struggled with the lack of personal responsibility there. And so when I read the purpose, the two that stuck out for me were the practical, began cultivating healthy traits through consistent positive behavior, and free thinker, with humility and openness, sought to eliminate our shortcomings. Because those two steps clearly put the onus on me for change and not on having it magically relieved. One thing that I've been doing since I started coming here is I've been writing my own steps based on what I read. And so what I came up with for my step 7 is, with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, began to transform unhealthy character traits identified in step 6 into healthier character traits. That's all. Thanks.
Go ahead, Margie.
I also really like the fact that the Cleveland one says courageously developing your positive assets as well as working to release your personal shortcomings, because I think sometimes we're blocked on some of the positive aspects of our personality, having them squashed by somebody in the past, maybe, or by a partner that's not working out. And I think that that's I think that's an important piece. But the thing that really jumps out at me today is the Buddhist saying, with the assistance of others. Because the number step 6 is saying, you're ready to go, you're ready to do this. And step 7 is saying, yeah, don't think that you can do it all yourself. You need to talk with other people. And I tend to want to just do it all myself and not get the assistance of friends and colleagues. And so that's speaking to me today, that's where I'm falling down. That this is being a little Buddhist, this is for the community as well. You improve yourself so that you improve the community. And to be the best person in myself, I'm going to need others to help me get there. But with that, I'll pass.
Thanks. Dina, go ahead.
Thank you. I am Dina, compulsive overeater. I am sorry I canceled night. I just couldn't get into the website by any means. So I'm so sorry that I dumped everything on you, Jen. If I look at what we read tonight, I like the Cleveland work honestly, humbly, and courageously to develop our assets and to release our personal shortcomings. And with that, the proactive, I learn to accept the sense of vulnerability that goes with life pressures and uncertainties. And I think this is really just for me. I felt so bad that I couldn't get in, and I was thinking maybe I must skip this meeting and write a resignation and all these circling down things of everything that went wrong that I couldn't get in. And to just say, I'm vulnerable. Life happens. Technical glitches happen. I'm just me. I'm the same with where I am. I can have no naughty thoughts about food. And then suddenly it comes. But then I can look at my life. I can cultivate my assets, friends that help, distraction techniques that I've learned that could help. Looking into myself, am I angry? Am I sad? Is there something happening around me? So to be able to look at my assets is a whole new perspective for me. To not just say, let go of your shortcomings, but what do I put in place of that? And to think, I have assets that I can put in place. I can make a much longer list of what I can do and who is there to help, and friends who I can phone and text and email. So then it becomes a whole different story, kind of even excited to say, let me try one of the new ones. Let me try one of the old ones. Let me tell others about my assets. Maybe that can help them too. Thank you.
Thanks, Dina. Does anybody else want to talk? Oh, go ahead, Christina.
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm a bulimic and compulsive overeater. This is my first time at this meeting, and So I did this program with the traditional steps because years and years ago, there was not access to the secular. So this is fantastic. I never would have done the steps other than one, the stories. And my identifying with everyone sort of pulled me in and kept me coming back. And two, unknowing, just by pure chance, there was one woman who just I connected with, and she was amazing. I used the ocean as this higher power, which was a stretch. But this is like, I feel like a kid in a candy store, no pun intended. I'm loving the, I had only read one option before the of the different versions, and I've never seen so many options. I'm definitely going to go through this whole booklet. I love the practical, proactive, and SOS. I will say I hated all of the steps, the traditional ones, and I struggled to get through every one of them. I hated the word humility in this particular step, and humble, I guess, because I felt that in my past, I was so micromanaged and controlled and overpowered. And just, you know, my job was to look attractive, be perfect in sport, in school, in career. And I never had a voice. I only gained it probably starting in my 40s. I'm in my 50s now. So I look up the synonyms to humility, and it says submissiveness, meekness, lowliness. That just gets my goat right now. It's like I'm working on speaking up for myself, having pride, and you know. Now I just want to say I have plenty of shortcomings, and it is hard to change. And I have no problem saying, you know, my gosh, there's a laundry list, and it's difficult to change, especially every decade that I live. These things get more ingrained, but I love the positive spin on the practical, proactive, and SOS, and it is just relieving. I'm going to have to send this to some of my sponsees. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Christina, and thanks, and welcome to our, as a first-timer, to our meeting. Bud, go ahead.
Well, gee, I was thinking about humility from a different standpoint, not as being submissive, but not engaging in grandiose ideas about myself and the world. And I think working the alternative 12 steps is really freeing. I go to several secular meetings, and sometimes it just seems like there's no rudder. I'm definitely not against the 12 steps, not as traditionally interpreted, but as it is in step 7. So it's like it doesn't go unnoticed to me that I'm the only male in this meeting right now. I feel like I'm an illustrious group, but I do feel like I have feminist characteristics that I want to nurture. Men have a tendency through their own fears and inadequacies to be grandiose. I don't need that. I think power, real power, comes from being honest with oneself and being humble about that. So that was just my interpretation of it.
Thanks, Bud. And, you know, OA is about 85% women and 15% men. So you're a little underrepresented today, but that's kind of our community. Is there anybody else who would like to share? I just want to encourage people, if you have anything to say, it would be great. Go ahead, Tim.
I wasn't double dipping before everyone else had a chance. One of the things I really do like in the OA 12 and 12 in step 7 is the definition of humility, which actually comes from step 5 in the AA 12 and 12. It says, humility is simply an awareness of who we really are today and a willingness to become all that we can be. So not thinking more or less of ourselves. It says, genuine humility brings an end to the feelings of inadequacy, the self-absorption, and the status seeking. So I just wanted to add that. Thanks.
AJ.
Yes. The proactive really jumped out at me. I learned to accept the sense of vulnerability that goes with life's pressures and uncertainties. And it's like most of my adult life, I have felt that, you know, I'm not vulnerable. I can do it all. And I am quite vulnerable. And that's a natural human trait. And it happens when I'm under pressure, when I don't know what's going to happen, et cetera. So that proactive one jumped out at me. That is the Pringle, I think. Yeah, Serge Pringle.
Thanks, AJ. Beth, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Beth, compulsive overeater. I really liked the SOS version because it specifically says that we're not trying to be perfectionists about this, because the original language felt very much like an absolute black or white, even though I know people don't interpret it that way all the time. But to have that explicitly stated that the goal is to be integrated with humanness or humankind, like we're not, as that phrase is, terminally unique, like just, I feel like that's kind of what humility is the recognition that we're not alone and we're not as small or as big as we think we are, or as, you know, whatever we think of ourselves is often clouded by illusions. And so it's whatever we can do to recognize that we're part of a larger, you know, I don't want to say a larger, like I'm trying to figure out what the word I'm trying to say is, but just that we're, you know, just not isolated. Just, I think, a focus on integrating and not to worry about it being a perfect process. I think that for me hits home.
Thanks, Beth. AJ, did you want to talk again?
I wanted to add one more thing. Thank you. Uncertainties in the proactive. That's the word that jumped out at me and got my attention. I'm an American, and there is a lot of uncertainty in this country right now. And it has really, really been almost frightening to me. And I have to just not watch the news to know that I'm not in charge. And I can follow the process and vote, et cetera, but that's about all I can do. And to know that uncertainty nationally does affect me personally, and it's creates a state of fear for me. So coming to meetings and knowing that others are in the same position helps an awful lot. And I don't know if I can accept the sense of uncertainty, but I'm really going to be aware of that and work on it. Thanks.
Thanks, AJ. We're now going to take turns reading different authors' insights on step 7 and then share our thoughts. Again, please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn to read and say pass when you're done. Go ahead, Tam, start us off.
Step 7 insights, Beth H. Of course, we don't expect our old habits to go away instantaneously. Remember the switching dominant hands example? We will likely not even notice the many times we resort to our old ways. With practice, we may see it after we do it. Later, we will catch ourselves while we are doing it and change course. Eventually, we will have new habits. We will lose them if we stop doing the self-reflection, stop attending meetings, or become complacent. Recovery is a lifelong journey. That's page 117 from Beth H.'s book, Weird. Not All Egomaniacs, Adopting the 12 Steps for Alcoholics with Low Self-Esteem, 2021. Martha Cleveland and Arliss G. We cannot force change in ourselves. We simply cannot do it. Forcing change is a fight against self and most often leaves us wounded, defeated, and despairing. That's page 72 from Martha Cleveland and Arliss G., The Alternative 12 Steps, A Secular Guide to Recovery, second edition, 2014. Pass.
Thanks, Tam. And Beth, go ahead.
In step 7, we work in partnership with our higher power or higher self to bring about change in our lives. We learn to take action and let go of the result, to do our part and let go of the outcome. Page 107 of, sorry, one second, of The Woman's Way Through the 12 Steps. Jeffrey Munn, notice I use the word cultivate. We aren't flipping a switch and suddenly becoming selfless, nor are we doing a week-long personality makeover boot camp. This is a process that will last us the rest of our days. We are cultivating it like one would cultivate a garden. Page 80 of Jeffrey Munn's Staying Sober Without God, The Practical 12 Steps to Long-Term Recovery from Alcoholism and Addictions.
Thank you so much, Beth. And AJ, if you would read the last two.
Yes. OA 12 and 12, we have admitted our need for help as we have begun to let go of self-will, have become willing to acknowledge our true selves, defects and all, and have become willing to have our self-defeating attitudes and traits changed. And that's page 52 of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, second edition, 2018. Serge Pringle, the coping mechanism is essentially a way to avoid staying in what is literally an unbearable experience. Getting in touch with the physicality of the experience and how much it blocks you helps you understand why words and logic are not adequate at such moments. And that's from the Proactive 12 Steps, A Mindful Program for Lasting Change, 6th edition, 2021.
All right. Now we're open for discussions about these interpretations. And again, if you'd like to read them, there's a link in the chat. You can turn to, I think it's page 19, yes, of the guide, if you want to read them again. And it'd be great if people started raising hands and I can call on you. I might just start us off. I like this Beth H. version, or just her insight about this. I've read the whole book. And so when she's talking about the switching dominant hands example, she's referring to when somebody stops using their dominant hand. So if I'm a right-handed person and I start using my left hand, it's just going to take a long time to remember to use the left hand. You know, it's going to take a long time to have my handwriting look really good. And it may, you know, it's just going to take time to change those old habits. And I like the idea of talking about changing the word shortcomings that they use in the traditional steps to habits, because I do feel like we've started, you know, learning different ways of coping with things. And one of, you know, my ways, of course, was whenever I had an issue, whether I was happy or sad or whatever, it would always take me to the food. And I was using food to deal with my emotions. Most of the time, you know, especially when I was upset, it would be a way of like stuffing things down, because I would literally be stuffing food into me. And, you know, that would just bring me, being so full would bring me out of my body and I wouldn't be thinking about my problems anymore. So now having to think about, you know, creating a new habit, what can I do instead? So something I like to do is I like to write when I have an issue coming up. So if I find myself reaching the refrigerator, which is my old habit, I will try a new habit, which is to get my journal out and start to write about why I might be upset. I like all of the insights, but I just today, that was the one that I was thinking about the most. I'm going to pass. And Dina, go ahead.
Thank you. I also like Beth Ice. For me, what jumped out was two things right in the beginning, that we can't expect it to be instantaneously. I have, unfortunately, this can't wait, no delayed gratification impulse. So I worked on it for many years, and now I learned to work it in a different way with this program too. And then with the switching of hands and the time that it took, I broke my dominant arm a few years ago. And I have a work where I do write quite a lot. And I've learned to write with my left hand, my non-dominant hand, really well. And yesterday, for some other reason, the way that I sat and I had to write, my right arm became kind of pins and needles. And I changed over to my left hand thinking, okay, I know I can do it with my left hand too. And the sudden realization that I didn't keep this habit going. I didn't keep on practicing. I didn't keep on using it. So it was, again, looking like a grade one person writing there. I could still do it, but it's not as fast and it's not as neat as it was. And I realized I need to practice it again if I want to keep this up. And just the realization now, for me, I need to keep this new habit, not wanting instantaneous things, not expecting the first time I get a craving in this week that I will immediately not think of the fridge or the pantry, but it will take time. So for me, these are so, so close to me. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Dina. Who else would like to share on some of these insights? Yes, AJ.
I like that OA 12 and 12 simply because it doesn't mention a higher power or him or God. And it is so traditional. And in all the years that I was in OA doing the traditional version, then when I switched over to the secular, there was a learning curve, I guess, for me. But this one really appealed to me, you know, letting go of self-will, becoming willing to acknowledge my true self, defects and all. That's a core issue of the traditional OA, becoming willing to have my self-defeating attitudes and traits changed. So it just felt good to read the traditional and not to have to worry about the God and he. Thanks.
And that's one sentence out of the whole chapter.
That's right.
Bud, go ahead.
Well, I personally, I don't have any problem with traditional 12-step interpretation or whether I just don't believe in a God. So it's just not going to work for me. But this alternative opportunity to take action, whether, you know, I'm totally bought into it yet, taking the action, the whole thing about me is action. The more that I can practice, I feel the better I will become in my growth.
Thanks, Bud. We have quite a bit of time left for sharing. Who else would like to comment on any of these insights? Tell us things that resonated with you or things that didn't. Okay, I'm probably messing up your name, but Gogo? Gojo? Goje?
Gogo, that's right. You got it right. Hi, everybody. My name is Gogo, and I really like this new approach that we have in Secular Away about habits instead of defects of character. We were talking about that in a meeting yesterday, a secular meeting, and I was sharing how step six was always one of those steps where I feel six and seven, right? Where I never have very clear in the traditional program, where was my part, where was God, what I was supposed to do, just fake it until you make it, but it's going to be in God's time. The defects are going to be removed, but you have no control over it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was very convenient for me to not take responsibility for my actions. Oh, well, I'm an addict. This is what addicts do, you know, and as long as I keep coming to the program and walking the steps and being abstinent, I'm going to be perfect one day. God is going to remove most of my defects of character, because the step says, be ready. Step six says, be ready to have all these defects removed. So they are all going to be removed, right? And then life happens and years pass by and I get to accept that I have a person that they have tendencies that are always going to be there. Of course, depending on my support level, depending on how hard I'm working on my program, on how good or bad I'm eating, I'm going to be able to act in one way or the other one. But today I take responsibility for my habits. I know that not with guilt, there are a lot of things that were learned. You know, there was a lot of rage in my home when I was a child. And I know that that's my tendency. I tend to be a very violent, confrontative person. And it's also, I'm not going to disguise behind the cultural or the nationality, but I am from Argentina. We Argentinians say things in the face. And sometimes it's not nice, and I have to relearn a lot of ways, a lot of habits when I came to live to this country. But that is not an excuse for me to keep practicing certain habits. And to close, also the misinterpretation of honesty, you know? I think that during years, I was taking the flag that honesty, you know, is the principle, the spiritual principle of step one. So I'm an honest person. I'm going to tell you what I think without taking care if that's going to hurt you or not. So today I'm much more careful in the things that I say to others and also to the things that I say to myself, because I can be in the habit of treating myself very bad too. And I don't want that anymore in my life. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Gogo, and welcome to the meeting. Beth, go ahead.
Hi, and hi, Gogo. Nice to see you, too. I just wanted to say that Oh, did I just lose you guys? No. Okay. I just wanted to say that the commentary part that resonated with me today, surprisingly, is we cannot force change. The Martha Cleveland one, we cannot force change in ourselves. We simply cannot do it. Forcing change is a fight against self and most often leaves us wounded, defeated, and despairing. I think for me, like the balance of taking responsibility versus realizing that I don't have ultimate complete control over my life. Like there are things I can and do have agency over, and that is important to recognize. But even, you know, sometimes I'm just really, really tired and I have to recognize that that plays a role in how I conduct myself. Or, you know, if I'm overwhelmed or, you know, something else is going on, it's hard to be a fully balanced, conscious person all the time. And I think just like giving myself some compassion around that is really important instead of feeling like I have to force that all the time. Not to say that I do, but you know, sometimes I get trapped in feeling a lot of guilt if I don't do the right thing, quote unquote. But like, you know, we all screw up, and who's to say what is the one right thing? Like there are many ways to be a decent human being. But yeah, for sure, sometimes my ego gets in the way and I sabotage situations. And it's important to acknowledge that and take responsibility for it and try to change. But like the idea that, you know, that it's not a process that is completely determined by my will, I think is in some way freeing. Like finding a balance between, you know, responsibility and control is important to say, like, I'm not, there's just so many variables in anybody's life, and it's okay to be imperfect, and it's okay for things to take their own time. I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen even in the course of a meeting. So like everything in life is unpredictable, and to welcome that as a part of the process of growth is really freeing for me. So, and I'll pass on that.
Thanks, Beth. Is there anybody else who would like to share for a first time or a second time? Go ahead, Christina.
Hi, Christina again, bulimic and compulsive overeater. Yeah, I loved, again, the same here. I love reading all of these insights. I do understand and identify with how the word, this doesn't happen overnight. Old habits don't go away instantaneously. Now, I knew that. I knew that would not happen. What caught me, what is catching me off guard is how difficult it is to change some things. I think I feel I was pretty good at seeing, wow, a lot of, as I mentioned in the other share, poor habits or habits that just were not positive in my life. And I've gotten to the point where, so for example, I really see traits and habits my family had, my mother, brother, father had, and I see it in myself. And, you know, prior to this program, I would just take their inventory and say, I can't believe this and that and the other. I do that. And my husband, when we got married years ago, he was real quick to point that out. So poor family members, for example, we could be very verbally cruel, very cruel. Words hurt. And, you know, I sort of, that just got so ingrained in myself. Again, it was horrifying to see a lot of things much more clearly. So I got that thinking I would, you know, right now where I'm at is I'm good at apologizing right after. And sometimes I can prevent myself, but I just wanted to release the fact that it is a challenge to make these changes. And when I'm in therapy and my therapist pointed out, yes, you're dad has all of these narcissistic traits and mother borderline. I have some of those traits and it is icky. I definitely, as someone said, I just want to be a better human. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better daughter, sister, everything. And it's a big order. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Christina. Bud, go ahead.
I'm just really talkative today. So I was thinking about the Bill Murray approach, you know, in the movie Baby Steps. We don't have to do the whole thing all at once, you know. As long as we're trying, as long as we're doing what we know is going to lead us to a better state of mind and more appropriate action, you know, where we want to be and grow, we just don't have to do everything at once. Thank God. And I think it addresses that in the reading today.
Thanks, Bud. I'm just going to take a quick second share, which, you know, the traditional step says, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And when I did the steps the first time, it was traditionally, I wasn't aware of all these alternative ones. And, you know, that step just makes it seem like, okay, God, take away my shortcomings. Boom, that's it. There's no more work that you need to do. And I really appreciate how these secular steps and also these insights really talk more about, you know, this is not going to be an overnight thing, even if we're asking God to remove these, you know, shortcomings. We actually have to do some work. And I know for myself, you know, I could only focus on a couple shortcomings or, you know, habits that I wanted to change at a time. I could not, you know, I had a huge long list after working on step four and step five and six. You know, there's just no way that I could address every single one at once. So, you know, over time, I've just, you know, kind of been knocking a few off, and I'm not perfect, but, you know, I can just practice working on a few at a time. Okay, sorry to eat up the last minute here. Oh, Christine, if you want to do a little quick last comment.
Please, yeah, just a last quick comment. So, you know, I just want to give credit to anyone. I really have just so much positivity for anybody who just acknowledges that they want to try to change. And my therapist so many times has said, your mom's not going to change. Your dad's never going to change. And they're not. And how awesome is it that we are here, just that step alone, acknowledging what's going on and attempting the change. I just want to say as a daughter, like, I appreciate that from all of you a million times. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, everybody. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you all for participating in this group. Together we get better. If you'd like to hear recordings from past Alternative Step discussion meetings, please check the Alternative 12 Steps page on secularovereaters.org.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.